So this is a thought that I continued with Roger. Roger and I spoke last week about me possibly taking on one of the lessons, and he mentioned that he was going to do one on the little people in the Bible. And of course, when you think of little people, you think of stature, little in stature. So, but the lesson was great. It was on people that were not mentioned very often in the Bible. And I told Roger that I would do one on giants. This is something that I've been thinking of for a little while, is actually doing one on giants, but not necessarily giants as in people, but that's what we'll refer to. But maybe the giants, things that happen in our life that we can't avoid. And I'm going to use some of the stories in the Bible talking about giants and issues that people couldn't avoid, including dealing with a giant, and how we are to look at those things. And that's, I renamed and named this lesson about four or five times. I kept thinking of, you know, defeating our giants and all these things. And I was starting to think about just the five smooth stones that David picked up. And I'm going to refer to these throughout because they'll have special meaning. But when we think of these giants, and we probably think of a certain name when we think of giant. I know that my mind instantly goes to Goliath. So when we think of the name Goliath, Goliath is actually used in our regular terminology to refer to as a giant. So this is actually from dictionary.com and just how we use the word. The word is the name of an individual from 1 Samuel, but also used in lowercase, it also refers to a giant or a very large, powerful, or influential person or thing. So we use the term Goliath to represent a lot of things. Even today, there's a roller coaster called the Goliath. And actually, there's species of animals that are called Goliath. One of them is the Goliath grouper. It's actually a title of a fish. This is a Goliath beetle. And this is a Goliath spider. I know, right? So these are actually the names of these species. Of course, you get the idea, right? These are large things. So with that, we think of Goliath, a large thing, as possibly a large problem. So we think of problems or things that come up in our life that we'll see with David here. Think of this Goliath. And the terminology that I'm going to use throughout the day, when referring to Goliath, these are my own definitions. This isn't from any reference. But I think of Goliath, when you're faced with a big problem that you can't escape from, an overwhelming problem that doesn't go away, like this problem. So we see that David will be focused on this Goliath of a problem involving Goliath. Something that doesn't go away. And we'll be kind of using these ideas and this thought as we go out through the lesson today, because we might be faced with our own Goliaths as we go to work or we go to school or we just go throughout our daily lives. We might be faced with these Goliath problems. So in reference to Goliath, let's turn over to 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 4. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Shechem, which belongs in Judea. They encamped between Shechem and Ezekiah in Ephesus' dominium. And Saul, the men of Israel, were gathered together and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in the battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley in between. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in span. So I always try to imagine what is going on here. So we kind of have some imagery about how these groups are set up. So we have the Philistine army on one side, and we have the army of Israel on the other side, with a valley in between. So they're spread across this valley. And I've done a lot of research about the Philistines. It seemed like they were very good with tempering steel. They were great at designing weapons, and they were great in war. So I think of these group of people, especially this champion. He's from Gath. And we're going to be looking into that a little bit later, but it seems like a lot of people from Gath were giants. They were large individuals. So you have these two groups that are spread with a valley in between, And you have this very large person that's coming out saying pretty much, if you defeat me, can you send anybody out to defeat me? If you can't defeat me, we will take over your armies. And it sounds like that was a pretty common sense of battle, that you would send one champion out against another. We see this in Troy and other events that happen, you know, later in the future of warfare. We see this happening. So with that said, in 1 Samuel 17, 16 and 33, we knew that the Philistines drew near and presented themselves 40 days, morning and evening. So when I talked about a Goliath problem, something that presents itself, something that doesn't go away, Goliath came out over 40 days, morning and the evening, presenting himself. They knew that they were going to have to go into battle. They knew they were going to have to fight this person. And it seems that if Saul saw this happen every day, this giant came out, David's brothers were there. So they knew that they were presented with this problem that was not going away. This was not something that was going to be easily done. And then later it says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war since his youth. So Goliath, being this large person, is also very skilled in battle. Now, I do want to make reference to 1 Samuel 16 when we're first introduced to David. He's also mentioned as a man of war and valor. I don't know if that's just in reference of things to come because he is, however, he is very strong and, you know, he even defeats a lion. So we know that he's a very strong individual. We know that he is preparing himself for this, but also Goliath and the Philistines, they were trained in this. They were trained in warfare. So in 1 Samuel 17, 39 and 40, as David is preparing himself for this battle to fight Goliath, this persisting problem that comes up often and comes over 40 days, showing up, presenting himself, this is what he does. Then he took his staff in hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from a brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So he picked up 5 smooth stones. Now, I hope that maybe everybody understands where I'm going with this. He believed in God so much that he believed he only needed 1 stone to take down the Philistine. So why did he pick up 5? I think some of you may already know the answer to this. I think many of you may know that Goliath had brothers. So why did he pick up 5 smooth stones? We know that possibly there were 4 other brothers of Goliath. So not only did David feel that maybe 1 stone was going to take down Goliath, but the other 4 was going to be against his brothers that would probably have come after him. There's something known as blood revenge, and we actually see that a couple times in the Old Testament. So here in 2 Samuel, this kind of makes reference to where we're going. In 2 Samuel 21, 20 through 22, it says, yet again there was a great war at Gath. Remember, that is where Goliath is from. There was a man of great stature who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes. On each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. It also makes reference that Goliath was also that same way. So when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shem, David's brother, killed him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hands of his servant. So why did he pick up 5 stones? I feel that he picked up these 5 stones because he knew the consequences of what he was getting ready to do. He was getting ready to take down a giant, a large man of war from the Philistines. He knew that it wasn't going to end there. So when I think about my life and when I may be challenged with things. Am I thinking of all of the circumstances that come with it? Am I thinking of all of the problems associated with it? What if I had picked up those five stones thinking about the future of the action that I'm getting ready to do? Or what if I picked up one stone and say, you know, I'm going to get this guy, not thinking there's four more possibly coming after me? Because we know he faced this. On top of not only facing a giant and possibly his relatives coming after him, he faced all of the circumstances and all the criticism that came with it. And I think of, as we go on throughout our Christian lives, would we have picked up these five stones to fight? Would we have been afraid like everyone else? Even though he faced criticism. 1 Samuel 17, 32 and 33, we already read some of this, but to continue on, when David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." So when David saw him, he was like, we can take this. God is with us. We can take him. But Saul said to David, "You are unable to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So he faced this criticism. He even faced criticism from Goliath when he stood up against him. In 1 Samuel 17:43 through 44, so the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Of course, we know David's actions. David just said a few words, and by the time those words were said, the giant was on the ground. So we have to also watch what we say. I think of what Saul's comments were. David was so, he knew what God wanted him to do. He was so strong in the faith. Even though people criticized him, it did not bother him. He still went to fight the giant. So we need to be careful with what we say. Because we think of uplifting one another. We think of the things that we can say to help one another because things have not worked out well when people have said things bad in the Bible. So I want to just refer to two things that I commonly think of when somebody mentions something, things happen to them. And I can't help but to think of 2 Kings 2:23 and 24. We have this story here that when he went up from there to Bethel and he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him. And he said to him, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." Does anybody remember this story? I think of watching out for what we say because what happened? Well, so he turned and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out from the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Again, we have to be careful what we say. I don't know about you, but grizzly bears are pretty fierce. And what I find interesting, too, that this specifically says two female bears. I'm not exactly sure the translation, but it's in reference to these two female bears. If you ever see a picture in National Geographic, I learned this last night when I was putting this together. It's like 90% of the time, it's two female bears fighting in just about every single one of these pictures. They are larger than male bears, and actually they're more fierce because they're normally protecting their young. So any time that you see something like this, it's normally two female bears. And I think of those people made this comment, then two bears came out and mauled 42 of them. So we have to be careful with what we say. This is one of the things that I was going to mention during class this morning. We were mentioning about people stating things that they were more powerful than God, that they didn't need him anymore. I think of what King Nebuchadnezzar said. So in Daniel 4:30 and 33, it says, "The king spoke, saying, 'Is not the great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?'" Well, what happened to him? In 31, it says, "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. And seven times you shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and given it to whomever he chooses. So again, we have to be careful with what we say. Also, if this has always interested me very much. There's been a lot of things unearthed, architecture and things been unearthed actually with writings discussing about how King Nebuchadnezzar was actually had a mental illness. I find that fascinating because it lines up to all of the scriptures. So we have to be careful with what we say. Because in Proverbs 15:1 it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary edification, that it might impart grace unto the hearts. And also, Proverbs 26:20, where there is no wood, a fire goes out. And where there is no gossip, contention ceases. Something so simple. This is just one sentence here in Proverbs about how things can cease if there are no gossip. And I think of things that happened at work. Things can simply go away or be resolved by not having gossip. Things can just simply be resolved. And I think of this verse often. Because with words, I think, are we just throwing stones? Are we actually preparing for what we should be battling against? I know we're studying against the devil on Sunday mornings. And I think of this often. Are we preparing for what our battle is against sin? Or are we just throwing stones? Because in Ephesians 6:4 says, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. When you think of that, just provoking to wrath, is this completing anything? Are you just angering people? Are you just throwing stones? Or in Proverbs 26:8, like one who binds a stone to a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Is this somebody just throwing things, riling something up, causing contentions or problems? It seems like those are most of the Goliaths that I fight during the week. It's contentions, things of people have said, that cause these problems. Because we know that Jesus even said, those without sin among you, let him throw the stone first. Because we know that we are to follow God and not just throw stones at one another. Because are we throwing them or taking on Goliath? Because in Ephesians 6:11 it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. Because I'm thinking if we are going against this great adversary, these Goliaths, used as the term, we are going against him. We are going against things that may try to shoot us down. People might be throwing stones against us. Are we wearing the armor of God that can protect us against these things? And are we helping one another? Are we edifying one another that we can stand up against our problems and against Satan and against these Goliaths in our lives? Because if we exhort each one another daily, we can get through this life. In Hebrews 13:3-13, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, for a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Because with God, all things are possible. In Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So if God is with us, who can be against us? So when we think of these Goliaths that are in our lives, these big problems that we can't escape from, these overwhelming problems that we know we are going to have to face. I don't know about you, but as I show up to work tomorrow, there will be many of these. Tomorrow is the first day of school at Sinclair. So there will be many of these faced tomorrow. However, praying to God and thinking of our problems and turning things over to God, turning over our worries to Him, can help us through these things. Also, as we face others that may be putting us down due to our religion or Christianity, we think of all of the problems that we may face because we know that there is mercies of God. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because we are to fight these Goliaths, even though they may show up and try to turn us away from what we're doing, or may have us sin, or turn away from God, that we are to follow these things, because we know if we are to follow God and be acceptable to Him, that we will be fitting for His kingdom in heaven. Well, how do we get into that kingdom of heaven? Because there's only one way to defeat these giants. We can think of hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and continue within the faith. Because these are the things, these are the tools that we use to start this fight. And of course, I have continuing into the faith. This is where we learn how to study and to show ourselves approved so we can fight these giants daily. So in closing, I want to think about those five stones that David picked up. Because as we go throughout our week, we can think of the consequences of the things we might say, you know, starting today, starting tomorrow. Are we ready to fight these battles? Are we ready to go into this war with the armor of God? That we're able to defeat these giants in our life? I just want to think of that as we close this out. And if anybody would like to become a child of God, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.